Thank you.
Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings come my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. But when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words you long to hear. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, help me to remember I'm weak, but you are strong. I cannot sing apart from you, for God, you are my song. But though I'm prone to wander and boast in all I do, Lord, keep my eyes turned upward, so I depend on you. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, and though trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you.
Amen. One thing I know for sure, I need them. Need them. Please, if you would, this morning, turn in the prophecy of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37, if you would. Ezekiel chapter 37. Appreciate it. In reverence to the Word of God, when you find your place there, if you'd stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Ezekiel 37. We'll begin reading in verse 1 in that chapter. And these are familiar verses. Trust God and speak to our heart from them this morning. Ezekiel writes, and he says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. It caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Father, we bow before you, and I ask you, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, and in the clear declaration, we need you. We need you this morning, Father, and I pray that you'd be pleased to take your word and use it, Father, in our hearts, in our lives. I pray, Father, I'm so grateful, so thankful for each one and everyone that is here within these walls today. Father, I'd ask you that you would grant us your Spirit. Father, take your word and anoint it for your glory. Accomplish through it today exactly what you would want done. Father, it may well be there's many of us here that need a challenge from you, that our lives might count for you, be used for you. There may be some, Father, that have drifted and have got away from you, and I pray that today might be the day that you draw them gloriously back to yourself. There may be some in our midst, Lord, that are yet unsaved, that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, I ask you again in the name of your Son, that you might be pleased to draw them savingly, eternally to yourself. We love you, Lord. We're so grateful that you continue to speak to us, continue to do in and through our lives. And Father, again, we love you because you first loved us. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. Amen and amen. And of course, we be seated. Well, this is a very interesting passage of Scripture. It's one that does get a good deal of attention. At least I have heard it preached from in days gone by. The background of the passage is that during this time frame in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel has been plundered, thoroughly plundered and conquered. The northern tribes have been carried off into captivity to Assyria. And at this time, Judah, the southern kingdom, has also been taken into bondage, into captivity to Babylon, along with Daniel and his friends would have been contemporaries of Ezekiel. As a nation, Israel was as dead and lifeless as this valley of dry bones. Be mindful that though Israel was indeed dead as a nation, as a political nation, they were also dead. Well, let's say they were just simply a mess spiritually. But before God allowed those wicked nations, Assyria and Babylon, to come in and to conquer them and to plunder them and to carry them off, God had along the way been faithful to send them, to send them prophet after prophet to preach to them and to warn them, to challenge them concerning the direction, the spiritual direction that they were going. As things progressed, the nation grew worse and worse. They gave no heed to the prophets as they warned them. And God in His infinite wisdom saw fit to bring them into a time of chastening. And this prophecy, what we read here today, is God's word to them that He would indeed, along the way, restore them. That He would indeed bring them back together. He would indeed, once again, breathe life into the nation of Israel. Now, I believe, as we would consider these things, that there's some spiritual lessons, some applications that we can apply to ourselves, even in this age, of grace. As a word to us, beloved, when God's people sin, and when they refuse to listen to Him, He will bring chastening into their lives. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer records for us, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." God will bring chastening to His people. Why? Because He loves them. Now, it's very important for us to remember or to realize that chastening is not judgment. The word for chastening here in Hebrews chapter 12 is a word that we find in other places described as child training or correction. The chastening of the Lord is given to correct His children, to bring His people to back to that place and relationship that they ought to be. He will. I'm thankful for this. God will work in our lives with His chastening love to restore us to that relationship that He would desire for us to have. The Bible teaches, beloved, that those that God loves, He will, you hear me? He will take us to the woodshed if we need it. And there's been times I've needed it. to be perfectly honest, there's been times I needed it. Now, some are foolish enough to believe that God won't do that. But beloved, I had to learn that lesson the hard way in my own life. And I'm thankful that though I do have a pretty hard head and pretty dense in between these ears, that God has the ability to teach the lesson, that He has the ability to get the job done. And I remember a time in my life, been long before I went into the ministry, but God had to do such a thing in my life. And it was before I was called to preach. And, you know, I got to thinking that I had everything all figured out, that I could do things my way, and I didn't need God to direct my life. You know, I started getting lax on some things, started getting lax in my prayer life, started getting lax in my time in the Scriptures, in God's Word. I even started getting lax in my church attendance. I didn't think it was so important to be in prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Oh, and hey, you know, Sunday night, I could take or leave it on those Sunday night services. And there were even times that, hey, if I had something better to do, I just didn't go to church at all. a sad time, to say the least. But you know what God did? He chastened me. He brought some chastening in my life. And you know where He brought that chastening through? My family. He brought it through my own family. Our oldest daughter got into some trouble. I don't think she'd be too embarrassed if she was here, but she's not here, so that's okay. If she's here, I'd tell it anyway. She got to hanging around some kids she shouldn't hang around with, and she got in some trouble, and she was heading to get maybe in some worse trouble. She was, like I say, hanging around the wrong crowd, listening to the wrong kind of music that was just sapping the spiritual strength out of her. Bottom line, God scared me right. God scared me right as I saw those things beginning to take root in my daughter. Beloved, as the head of my home, I had lost sight of the priorities of, number one, leading my family in the things of God. That God was going to hold me responsible. And if I didn't do right by them, that He may indeed chasten me even worse through my own children. Oh, wow. Fortunately, God was merciful to me. Fortunately, God was merciful to me and to my daughter. And she, not only did Daddy get his heart right, along the way God got a hold of her, and it's been, I guess, about 20 years now, she's been serving the Lord faithfully as well. As a pastor, beloved, listen, as a pastor, it frightens me when I see folk that I love, see folk that I care about, that are beginning to stray or err from those things which are so needed in their lives. And they, those things that will be, continue to be that compass, if you will, or that keel in their water to keep them going in the right way with God. I don't want to see them have to endure the chastening of the Lord. Hey, if that need be, then Lord, please bring it on. But I don't want to see it in their lives. Well, back to our passage. The nation of Israel was under the chastening hand of God in this period of time. God had taken, they had fallen into idolatry and in paganism. They had adopted the practices of their heathen nations that surrounded them. And they took on the worship of those wicked and heathen nations. And God was pleased to take Judah up to Babylon, which was the very seat and center of paganism, and rub their nose in it for 70 years. And God was pleased to allow them to get back to the land. Israel didn't have any problem with that anymore. Hey, sometimes even the chasing of God can be a great blessing along the way. Well, Ezekiel was one of the preachers, the prophets on the scene at this time. And verse 1 tells us that God's hand was upon this man. God took him, it says, there in the spirit. Meaning that God gave him this amazing vision, a vision, a horrible scene, really, that God took him to. He put him, it says, into the midst of a valley of dry bones. Midst of a valley of a bunch of dry and bare bones. And we see this point, this first point, that Ezekiel's devastating ministry. In this vision, God has given Ezekiel quite a promising ministry, hasn't he? He's taken him to a church that was full of old dry bones and given him the job of preaching to them. Verse 2 tells us that there were very many of these bones, and not only were there a lot of them, they were very dry. Very dry. It's a rather lifeless congregation, to say the least. Listen at verse 2. He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, And lo, they were very dry. How would you young preachers like a ministry like this? God take you out and plant you in this church and say, preach to them. Oh, my. Well, we have a question. God asked the preacher, God asked Ezekiel the question here. In verse 3, He, God, said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Now, humanly speaking, as Ezekiel, or if I or you were overlooking this valley, we probably would have said, no! There's no possibility of life here. Nothing but death. They have no hope. Church, listen to me. We could ask ourselves a similar question in these days. As I've been considering this question in my own heart and life lately, when we assess, when we would consider Christianity in our own country, when we evaluate the lack of respect in these days for the things of God, when we would consider the lack of respect for human life, politicians are afraid, they're counseled and advised. If you don't want to be around me when I hear some of these news reports, and even from some of the quote-unquote conservative commentators, when they say they need to stick to the important stuff. They start talking about the economy and all those things. And yeah, those are important things. But how do you minimize life? How do you minimize the importance of someone standing up for the unborn? Somebody standing up and saying, hey, marriage is between a man and a woman. We consider the onslaught of how we're having a homosexual agenda crammed down our throats. We consider how we nightly hear about murders on our streets. And on it goes, we see that now, oh my, I heard this week that more than half of babies born today are born to parents out of wedlock. I don't like to hear those statistics. I don't like to hear those things. Is it possible? Is it possible that we could see God breathe afresh on America? Can these bones live? Can there be revival in these days in America? Can there be a moving once again of the Holy Spirit of God in our country today? Is it too late? Is it too late for revival in America? Well, as we read here, we have Ezekiel giving the very best answer any man could possibly give to God. He says, O Lord God, Thou knowest. O Lord God, Thou knowest. Only God. Only God could say whether those bones, those old dry bones in that valley could ever live again. And beloved, only God can say whether He'd be pleased to once again give a revival to our land. And beloved, I just want to say this up front. I'm going to talk about this morning, but look a little bit more at it tonight. But beloved, as long as God is pleased to leave His churches here, as long as God is pleased to leave the Holy Spirit of God here, there is hope for America. There is that potential, beloved. All that God needs is His Word and a people that are willing to seek His face. Hey, that they're willing to have God deal with them and to work in them. Hey, there can be revival if God be pleased to work afresh. Ezekiel's great answer. But then we see this command that God gives to His prophet. Oh my. He says, prophesy upon these bones. Preach to these bones, Ezekiel. Prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Woo! This may seem like an impossible task, but I'm here to tell you that there's many a preacher that has felt he's been preaching to congregations of dry bones. No comments. He preaches to those old dry bones. Doesn't seem to be much shaking going on. Doesn't seem to be a whole lot of hope of life in those bones. But, beloved, every preacher, including this preacher, must remember a very important truth. His job is to preach. His job is to preach the word of the Lord. I'm accountable for that. It's God's place to do the work, to do the rest. It's God's place to do the rest. And when the preacher tries to do God's work, he's got more to do than he can do. It's a job bigger than him, beloved. And I'm afraid, and even in our day, that there's a lot of preachers trying to do God's work. We can get, and I'm trying to hesitate if you can tell, we're not knowing whether I should say this or not, but here we are. I just want to obey God's Spirit. So a lot of times we're preaching, and we're getting our work done, and we're getting decisions out of folk, and we get them sometimes cleaned up and looking all right, as we'll see here in a little bit, but we keep trying to prop up dead bodies. Huh? Because it's something we're doing that God hasn't done. Salvation is of the Lord. He's the one that breathes life into the dead bones. Lord, help us. Let God do His work. But then we see this amazing message here in verses 5 and 6. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, listen to this, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. When God does it, it gets done, beloved. Amazing message. God's message was to Israel. Yes, He's talking to Israel here. He's talking to them, and He declares that He would cause breath to enter into them and that they would live. Beloved, it appeared hopeless for Israel in Ezekiel's day. They were essentially prisoners under the Assyrians and the Babylonians. They had no freedom, no ability to do in and for themselves. It appeared that to ever see a restoration of the nation of Israel was hopeless. And yet God gives His promise to them. He doesn't say, I might. He doesn't say, I could if I would. He said, I will, beloved. I will cause breath to enter into you. And I'm so thankful here in our passage that He had an obedient messenger. He had an obedient preacher that did what God had told him to do. Didn't run from it as old Jonah did, but did what God gave him to do. Well, Ezekiel, let's read here in verses 7 and 8. Ezekiel speaking here, he says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. He was obedient. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. And the skin covered them above. but there was no breath in them. This was a dream, a vision, if you will, but it must have been some sight. It must have been some sight. You can imagine it. The old foot bone started to shaking and rattling and got hooked up with the ankle bone and the ankle bone started shaking and moving about and clung on to the leg bone and before you know it is the foot and the ankle and the leg bone are shaking and rattling and it wasn't too long the knee bone got hooked up and on it went. Pretty soon the old ligaments and the sinews began to form up around those bones and the flesh came on and skin covered them over. One problem, wasn't there? There still was no life. Still no breath of life in them. And before we go on, can I make the application that many times, beloved, many times, even as a church, we can gather together and everything looks great. Huh? You listening? Everything looks great, but there's a problem. There's no evidence of the breath of God. And I know, forgive me, I understand that as an independent Baptist, I'm not supposed to talk about the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Ghost, to God, we have no life. Unless God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to be pleased to enter in here today, nothing of consequence, nothing of eternal value will be accomplished. Doesn't matter how well we might doll up and how much we might practice the singing and everything look just right and sound just right. Unless God's pleased to visit us with Himself and in power, nothing. Nothing. Take place. We might make a lot of noise. We might rattle and shake. But there'll be no life outside God being pleased to enter in and do something in our midst. Unless He, the Holy Ghost of God, doesn't take charge. Hey, I want God to take charge here. I stand before you this morning in fear and trepidation that I do this in vain. Why get together? Why meet at all if it's meaningless? We need God in these days. There was indeed a powerful moving take place here in verse 9. Then said God unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath, hallelujah, the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Oh my. God, as we've seen, instructs Ezekiel to prophesy to the wind. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe. Oh, God, Holy Spirit, come, breathe. Father, move us by Your Spirit. I'm afraid we can get so much done in the flesh that we're content to go on without Him. Without the Holy Spirit. Can these bones live? Oh God, Thou knowest. Along the way, God would be pleased to move in the king's heart. Kings permitted men like Nehemiah, Ezra, to return to Israel, return to Judah in the city of Jerusalem. They rebuilt the city, rebuilt the temple. But beloved, not since this day has Israel truly been a nation. And then in 1948, God was pleased to once again restore Israel as a nation, albeit a political entity. The dry bones of a dispersed and persecuted people were brought together. The wrappings, the sinews and ligaments of government and society were brought upon them. But spiritually, there is still no life. But one day, God's going to command the Holy Spirit, the wind of God, and it'll breathe upon Israel. And they'll recognize Jesus the Christ as their Messiah. And they'll live. They will live. What about us this morning? We started with this question, finished with it. Is there hope for revival for us? Can there be a revival of God's work in this day? I'm thankful that even today, the only correct answer is, O Lord God, Thou knowest. God knows what He will do. And I leave it with Him. Oh, would I like to see revival again? Oh, yes. I had a preacher friend. I love him. I love him to this day. But I had a preacher friend say to me, well, I don't worry about revival. I don't worry about that. He says, brother, it never lasted. Beloved, I would be so thrilled to see God breathe afresh. Hey, that He would stir us, shake us up to the point where we couldn't get over it. Huh? And if it lasted a month or 6 months or 6 years, hallelujah. I'll take it. God, do it again for us. He might be pleased in His mercy to do it again. Let me ask this question, though. O Lord, Thou knowest if there could be revival again. But let me ask this question. Can folks still get saved today? They can still get saved today. Let me ask you a second question. You listening? Can you and I live for God today? Amen. Yes, we can. We can live for God today. And we can see souls saved today. God's instruction to preachers is preach the word. Preach the word. God's instruction to this church. Again, listening. God's instruction to this church. Huh? Go. God's instruction to us is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that job done? No, it's not done. Is my job still to preach the word? Is it our job as a church to go still? Then we need to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. We need to get busy with God's word. Get busy with what He put before us. Hey, there's a city that needs to hear the gospel. Last I heard, wasn't everybody in Fort Worth saved yet. We've still got work to do. Let me ask you, friend, here this morning, has God given you life? Has God given you life? Yes, I realize you're here. You're a living human being. But do you have that life that only Jesus can give? Has He been pleased to breathe life into your soul? You say, what are you saying, preacher? Have you been saved? Do you know that you've been saved? That Jesus Christ has cleansed you of your sin, forgiven you, given you that eternal life in Himself that He died for? Do you know you're saved? Now, I didn't ask you. I didn't ask you if you were baptized. I'm not asking you if you're a church member. I'm not asking you what you've done. I'm asking you, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? This word that I've sworn to preach says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, if you're here today without Jesus, put your faith, your trust in Him. He will give you life. Let's stand together. Father, the song that was sung earlier is, Lord, I need You. We as a people, we as a church, this preacher, we need You. Father, I pray for revival. I ask You that You might be pleased to once again, even in these days, to breathe afresh upon churches just like this one. Father, I pray that You break up ground that has gone fallow, hard. Tender, Father, our hearts to hear from You. Lord, I pray, Father, maybe, may well be some folk within these walls today that realize they've strayed afar from You, got away from the things that they know are right, things from their youth they'd heard and been taught. Father, please today, deal with those dear, precious hearts. Deal with my heart, Father. Deal with us all, that we not be satisfied with just mediocrity. Not be satisfied with just getting along and what we might call churchianity. But Father, that we would long and desire and plead for You to work and move, oh God, whatever to take to restore us to that fervency and love for You that we should have. And Father, I pray as well, there may be some folk within these walls today that are yet without Jesus. They don't know that life. They don't know that joy, the peace, oh, the great blessing of being in Jesus, knowing Jesus as their Savior. Father, please stir in those lives. Please, Lord, today, might they see Him in His glory and His grace, His great love. Father, draw savingly, gloriously to Yourself. And Father, I pray that for Metropolitan Baptist Church, Lord, if there's ever a time that we need to be the people of God that You've called us to be, it's very obvious it's today. Lord, might we shine for Your glory, shine for Your honor, shine that a lost and a dying, perverted world might see that there's something different, something better, something good, something right to be found in You and a life for You. We love You, Lord. We love You and we thank You for Your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Colton, you have a song for us.
Page 155.
Folks, as we sing, please obey the Lord. Do what He'd have you to do today. I wouldn't presume to say what that is. If you need Jesus today, I plead with you. Please don't leave this place without Him. We're here to do our best to point you to Him, to show you what Jesus did for you. If you're here today and you realize that things aren't right in your life, these altars are open. That's what they're here for. Come. Make use of them. There might be some folks that just want to get in here and pray for loved ones, pray for friends, pray for children, pray for mom and dad. Whatever the need is, please, please don't let Satan keep you back. You do what God would have you to do today. Colton.
Have thine own way.
God, please have your way. Please do in our hearts today, Lord. Stir us, Father, that we might do right for you. Oh, God. Help us, Father, to obey you.
I am the clay.
People aren't the light that we're supposed to be. What's hope in this world? Where's this world going to see something different? Beloved, we need to take up the challenge. We need to be a light and the salt that this world desperately needs. Lord, help us. You can be seated. Brother Curtis is going to come and give some announcements. I wanted to challenge our men. End of April, April 27th and 28th, the men's advance will take place in Stillwater, Oklahoma, sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church there. They didn't have one last fall. They decided to move it to the spring where that wouldn't be conflicting with any other things that were going on there in the city. And so I challenge you, men, we'll be having a sign-up sheet here available over the next few days. Please, men, sign up and go to that. I've been to meetings all over the country, different places. There's few of them that I would really be excited to take other men to. The men's advance there in Oklahoma is one of those places. There'll be tremendous preaching. The church there does a fantastic, unbelievable job of organizing and preparing for that. Your souls will be fed and challenged, guys. The music glorifies God. Glorifies God. Pastor Wayne Hardy there does a tremendous job in directing that himself. And so I'll challenge you guys, please, as we get that sign-up sheet ready, please, you sign up and go. Yeah, there'll be a little cost to it, but it'll be worth it. It will be worth it. Brother Curtis, you come. Love you, folks.
Gentlemen, as y'all come forward to receive this morning's offering. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us today, Lord. Thank you that we can say we've been to church today, Lord. Lord, bring us back tonight. Lord, help us be expecting something from you tonight, Lord. Lord, bless this offering that we're about to receive. Be it the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just a few other announcements. We got some cookbooks left. We got, if you got anybody in your life that has a mother or daughter or grandmother or Christmas or Thanksgiving or, well, maybe not Thanksgiving gift, birthday gift, that'd be a nice gift. Guys, let me caution you, don't buy one and take it home to your wife and say, here, try something. Never mind, that went over like a pregnant pole vaulter. Speaking of pregnant pole vaulter, we got a baby shower tonight for Miss Lauren Abernathy. I don't know why they're going to give the baby a shower. Okay. Keep on going. Next Sunday night after church, we're going to have a father-son campers meeting. I'd like to meet all the guys who want to go camping with us guys and just kind of talk about what we've got going on. ladies' fellowship. Let's see, I guess not just a ladies' fellowship brunch anymore, just a fellowship brunch on the 5th of March. That's going to be the Cracker Barrel. And you can see the stuff that's coming up. Guys, I went to that men's advance last year for the first time. Really, really, really good. I want to challenge you to go. So we also still have a few of these things. We have them on the back table, Miss Renee. It's a list of things. What can I do to help? Grab one, look at it, pray about it. See what the Lord lays on your heart. Yes. Ladies ensemble tonight. 4 o'clock? 4:30. Okay. Well, amen. Let's stand and be dismissed with Every Day with Jesus. It's in the back of your bulletin or page 498 in the hymnal.
Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
You may be dismissed.